This is our 2010 West Coast Daughters of Sarah weekend. The theme for the weekend is the spiritual habits of a sister in Christ. Our study leader for the weekend is Brother Roger Lewis of New Zealand. This is session 11, How to Master Personal Productivity. Brother Roger.
I suppose the moment we start writing goals down, life gets more tricky. Because actually, one of the things that Christadelphians need to master is their time management skills. And the more goals we've got, the more pressing time becomes. The more we realize that we haven't got time to waste, we haven't got time to fritter away. We've got to be much more focused on time. So in fact, I was going to talk about some time management things to start with, but in fact, I don't think I've got the time to talk about how to manage the time. Maybe if we've got time later on, we'll do it, but not in this particular session. So in fact, what I'm going to do is talk about some productivity ideas, and these particular slides are part of a seminar that I have done for obviously a general audience on this particular matter. I say that because when I come to one of the particular slides, you'll think, I wonder what that's all about in terms of some of the focus. So this is really about mastering productivity. Now, I think the thing with this particular study is you're going to need to try and apply the principles as you believe are appropriate to your own circumstances. Some of this will apply more and some of this will apply less to each one of you. But in fact, I think that most of us have some productivity things to learn so that we become as efficient as possible in mastering whatever workflow comes upon us. Remember how they said that when computers were invented that it would somehow launch the paperless age? And somehow paper doesn't seem to have stopped, does it? In fact, computers tend to generate paper. And for most of us in life, whether we're working in a job or just running a home, there's paper even at home, isn't there, that's got to be managed. And so these are some productivity skills that I think we need to learn, because Christadelphians actually lead double lives. Not double standards, but double lives. We run full-time jobs, we have careers, and yet we also are busy in the truth, and we're just as busy in the truth as we are in our job, and many of us are going absolutely flat out all the time. So in fact, productivity is really crucial. So this is a productivity process that I personally use because I have found it really helpful. I'll tell you how I got to this. I got to the stage about 2 years ago where I said, I've got problems. When I wrote down my to-do list, I found out one of the reasons why there was a problem is that there were over 200 items on my current to-do list. At the moment, it's about 207, by the way, so interestingly enough, the productivity skills that I've learned haven't diminished the number of things, but the strange thing is that although I've got about the same number of items on my list, I'm in control. I can't get to everything in the next 24 hours, but I'm in control. And what the system is about is getting to that stage of at least feeling that you're in control with everything you've got and that you won't drop a ball in any part of your life. I think Christadelphians could, with profit, learn some of these lessons. So this is all about mastering the five stages of workflow. Now, it's a pretty obvious process, really. So obvious that, well, it seems too obvious, but it's more powerful than you realise. So we go through a process when we're processing stuff, whatever it is, whether at home or at work or even in the ecclesia. We go through a basic process, which is to collect information. We process it into some order. We organise it, and we then review it, and finally we hopefully do something about it. So what I'm going to do is walk you through that process in a little more detail today to show you how each one of these points are vitally important that we get right in order that we might maximise our productivity. So I apologise in advance if you were expecting a biblical session. In a sense, this is not. But in terms of what's usefulness to our lives, I think that these are very, very helpful ideas in terms of managing our our life, even in the truth. And it all begins with this. Have you got any of that? Okay, well, what this system is predicated upon is maybe, if you like, two key theses. The first is that it's quite surprising the number of people's places you go to, and offices, and home studies, where there's sort of this massive pile of stuff on the desk. And in fact, a person will say, now where have I put that bill? I know it's in here somewhere. And you suddenly realise that that massive pile of stuff is actually their current reading list, it's their current to-do list, it's their current list of bills to pay, it's their filing, it's actually everything. Which really means they haven't got a system. They've got no system at all. And every time they want to find something, they go all the way laboriously through the same whole bundle of documents every time to try and find the next thing. Because they've got no process. I think this could be really... I find this is just as helpful at home as at work. Got to have a process. Well, how that process begins is that you organise... There's a really good book out called, and some of you will have read it, Darwin's Black Box by Michael Behe, who's a molecular biologist. Now, one of the things he says, he talks about the law of irreducible complexity. Now, the law of irreducible complexity is about making something as simple as we can, but if you make it too simple, it doesn't work anymore. So you can only simplify something to the point where it still functions. It's now irreducibly complex. It's as simple as it can be, but as complex as it has to be in order to work. And the example he gives in the book, which is quite good, really, because everyone can understand it, even if you're not a molecular biologist, is he talks about a mousetrap. A mousetrap has got a piece of wood, and it's got a spring, and it's got an attachment, and it's got one of these things that goes whoop over the top, and it's got the hook for the cheese. It's got about six components. The thing is, a mousetrap's got to have all six of those things, or it doesn't function as a mousetrap. It's irreducibly complex at that point. Anything less than that, and it won't work as a mousetrap. And I think that what happens in our lives is that people have got parts of the mousetrap in terms of productivity. They've got a filing cabinet somewhere. They've got paper over here somewhere. They've got a desk. They've got drawers. But they haven't got a process. And so they're notoriously unproductive. Well, Christadelphians can't afford to be unproductive. Sisters can't afford to be unproductive, either in work or personal life. Now, the second great thesis about this idea is building a system that's so good, so reliable, that you trust it. Because if you don't trust it, you won't use it. And what it's predicated on is this idea is that the brain is a brilliant instrument, God-given, to think creatively, and it's an appalling place to run to-do lists. How many of you have woken up in the middle of the night thinking about something you ought to do, which is probably not the right time for the brain to pop that up as a to-do list item just at that moment? If the brain was how we should run our to-do lists, what should happen is when we're driving past the hardware shop, it should go, ping, batteries for the torch, and you drive in and get the batteries. But somehow the brain never pops up the to-do item as you drive past the hardware store. In fact, generally we think about new batteries at the time we try and put the torch on one day when we need it, and it doesn't work because the batteries are flat. Brains are the worst place to run to-do lists. And lots of people panic because they've got stuff churning in their brains all the time. I must remember to do that. I should phone that. I must remember to do that. I'll put this away. I must call so-and-so about such and such. And they've got it all in their brains. Well, so did I. And in the end, I couldn't juggle 200 items in my brain any longer. So I had to find a system. The system's got to be good enough that it's irreducibly complex that it works, and it's got to be robust enough that you absolutely trust it. Because if you trust it, you can then start the process. And the glorious thing is, you get everything out of your brain and into the system. And suddenly the mind goes, ah, it really does. So here's how it works. It starts by putting everything into the in basket. And this particular process that's adopted for this, if you're really serious about it, how it works is, imagine a typical office. So if I was going to do this for you or with you, I'd come into your office, and first of all, I'd take everything on your desk and I'd put it into one pile. Then I would take everything on every cupboard, every desk, every cabinet, every shelf space, I'd grab all of those things and I'd put them on that pile as well. Then I'd take every drawer out of the desk and I'd tip all of that onto the pile as well. And now you've got your true in basket. Now, the objective is to get everything out of the in-basket as quickly as possible. You're not actually going to do it. All you're going to do is process it. But you've got to process it through the in-basket and out into the system, which I'm going to talk to you about. Because you'll find that when people open even the drawers of their desk, they've got all sorts of stuff lurking there that's been growing mouldy for years. But they've never quite known what to do with it because they haven't got a system. So it just all accumulates. Anyone got a drawer like that? Cupboard like that? Shelf top like that? Filing cabinet like that? Desk like that? So it starts with a process. It comes into the in-basket. And as a result of coming into the in-basket, we ask the first crucial question. What is this? It's a more profound question than you realise, because actually one of the points of asking this question is to decide whether it should even be there in the first place. So we go through a process that says, well, the first crucial question is, whatever this thing is it actionable? Yes or no? Now, that's pretty easy. It could be yes or it could be no, right? If it's no, though, there's actually several possibilities that emerge out of that. If we said, well, no, it's not actionable, great. Well, then it can go in several places. The first and very best place it can go is trash. So, in fact, if you're going to do this and you experience the joy of doing this, you do exactly what I said. You gather literally everything together, put into one enormous file, and you also have a big pad of paper so that everything you can think of else that's in your brain, you write down on a piece of paper and you put it to the list as well. So you think, I've got to do this. So you write it on a single sheet of paper, call so-and-so, re-such and such, put it on the pile. I've got to clean so-and-so and do something. Great, that's right, write it on a piece of paper, put it on the pile. Separate pieces of paper, even though you might go through a whole pad. The reason is because every one of those pieces of paper are going to disappear into the system as separate items later on. So you're going to process it. And what you're going to do is, as you go through this, you're going to say, what is this? And it's either going to be actionable or not actionable, but you're going to start the process of moving it through the in-basket and somewhere else. If it's not actionable and you really don't need it in your life, then be ruthless in putting it into there. You might want to bring a dumpster in, because this is going to be a very liberating experience. Truly it is. You're going to find things that when you really ask this question, you think, actually, this doesn't need to be part of my life ever again. Goodbye. It's a wonderful feeling. But it could be that an item is not actionable, but it actually shouldn't go into trash. And it could go into this. It could go into either a someday file or a maybe file. That's two different files. So I'm going to talk about that. The someday file, you use a tickler file for, and the maybe file, well, you've got a separate one called hold for review. Let me talk about tickler files. Tickler file's a really simple idea. It's one of the most brilliant inventions. You know, heard of a tickler file? It goes like this. You get a little box. It's a box that will contain, could be a plastic box or a wooden box, whatever, but it's a box that will contain a set of files. You don't need a lot. You actually need, let me get this right. So it must be, what's 31 plus 12? 43 files. It's got to have 43 files. And it has 43 files because it's got one file for every day of the month up to 31. And then it's got a file for every month of the year. So all of those go in a box. A nice, neat, tidy, orderly box. Men love boxes. And the whole idea behind that file is that it's sort of like your private personal post office. So now what happens is when something comes in that's a piece of paper that's come through this system and you say, well, it's not actionable right now, but in fact I do need it for something. Now, let me show you how it works. A tickler file is an elegant way to manage non-actionable items that may nevertheless need an action in the future. And I'll give you a couple of classic illustrations in a minute. It represents a three-dimensional calendar to hold physical documents you want to see at some future date. Because we've still got paper coming in. Where do I put this paper? Everyone's got a paper problem. Even at homes, there's a paper problem. So this is something I don't want to deal with now, but I do have to have it at some date in the future. So by putting it in this tickler file, it becomes a personal post office that allows you to mail the item back to yourself on the designated day. So the piece of paper arrives. Now how the tickler box works is this. Imagine we're at the 1st of January. Well, the January file is at the front, and then we've got the files 1 to 31, and then we've got the files marked February, March through to December. So now The daily files relate to the month of January. So a piece of paper comes in on the 1st of January that you don't actually need to think about for 3 weeks. 3 weeks? I need to talk about this on the 21st, the 22nd of January. Great. So it goes into file marked the 22nd, and it drops in there, and now you forget about it. And on the 22nd of January, you pull out the file for the 22nd, you open the file, because these are things that need to be looked at or dealt with on the 22nd of January. You've just posted it back to yourself. The mail's arrived. And you didn't even have to pay postage. It's actually really incredibly simple. The Tickler file is made up of 43 folders, 31 for the days of the month, 12 for the months of the year. So what happens when you get to the end of 31? In the meantime, everything that you've been collecting that might relate to the month of February simply goes into the February file. Ah, but on the 1st of February, the month of January file, which is empty, goes to the back of the pack. Everything comes forward. The February file gets opened, and now everything in the February file gets filed into 1 to 31 relating to the days of February that you want this to turn up, and now it's the February file. The same 31 files are now for the month of February. Now the month of March is sitting at the back of that. So what you've got is a moving file that always will manage the next 12 months of your life, perpetually. Cleared every day, it represents a perpetual file to manage items for a continuous year in advance. Let me give you a classic illustration. So what happens is, I've booked a flight to go to Wellington in 3 weeks' time, and I've got the tickets. Where do I put the tickets for the plane and the boarding passes and the hotel booking for the night? It's all printed out. But this is the sort of stuff. Where do I put it? It's such a pain. So guess what happens? It sits on the desk somewhere. In fact, it sits in that magic file. Now, where's those tickets? Because you've got nowhere else to put it, because you haven't got a system. But the beautiful thing about this is you say, so when am I going? I'm going up on the 22nd of January. Great, the tickets go in the file marked the 22nd. I don't need them before then. On the morning of the flight, you go to the 22nd, you pull out the stuff, and there's everything I need for the trip that day. Posted back to me. Perfect. So, in fact, those sorts of things, it's ideal for managing agendas, reminders, travel tickets, travel directions, event reminders, items for purchase. Bear in mind, this is a seminar I ran for a company. But could you translate that into Christadelphian terms? Something for a sister's class, something coming up for a seminar, something coming up for a special effort, things that need to be posted back to you on the due day, the program for an activity that's coming up. Where do you put these things? Well, put it in a place like this so that it comes back to you at the right time. And the wonderful thing is at the moment it's in there, you forget about it. It's under control. Simple. The other part, though, is that it might not be that. It might be a someday maybe file. Now, someday maybe is stuff that you think, this is interesting. This is an article in a magazine about organic planting orientated to the schedule of the cycle of the moon. I might want to do that at some stage in the future. It's a someday maybe thing. So what you do is you make up a file for that and you put that in the someday maybe file. I'll come back to that when we talk about filing systems. But it could be any one of a whole lot of things. I want to do Spanish, I want to take a watercolour class, I want to build a lap pool, I want to take a balloon ride, I want to build a wine cellar, I want to take a trip through, I want to take a trip through Montana. Hey there, will you look at that? Some people have big dreams. I want to do it, whatever it is. These are things that aren't actually on the list of things to do right now, but you don't want to lose it because it's a piece of paper or a document or an idea that you want to have exist for the future. Great. So set up a someday file for it and then file it away. And I'll come back to how you manage that in a minute. And even Christadelphians have someday maybe files. I promise you they do. So coming back to our chart then, what we've done is we've said, can it be trashed? Well, no. It's not in the Tickler file for the 31st of January. In fact, it's just a dream that one day I'd like to have a look at that particular idea. Great, so you've got a file? Good. Process it. Gone. But if you haven't got the system to allow that, it sits there on the desk also. All the someday maybe things sit on the same desk as all the current things. It's a nightmare. It's a complete nightmare. Now, there's another place that it could happen if the answer is no. The answer could also be, well, It's not a dream. It's not coming up in the next month, not even coming up in the next year, but it's a really valuable piece of reference material that I'd like to keep just as a reference item. Now, that does happen to Christadelphians. We get lots of interesting documents, don't we? Even from a spiritual perspective, I think that's a really good reference document. I must keep that. So you've got to have a good reference system. So how do you do that? Well, the answer is, well, you've got to build a good reference system. So how do you do that? Well, it's great. You do it like this. First of all, on your desk, you have a stock of manila folders. Could be plain, could be coloured. Depends on how passionate you are about colour. You've got to have a stock of plain A4 paper. A4, I don't think you've got A4 over here, but you've got something similar. What's it called?
8.5 by 11.
8.5 by 11. You've got to have a stock of that. Ah, here's the magic item. Now, how many people on their desk have got a stapler? Sellotape? Staple remover? Computer? How many people have got a labeller? Okay, well done. Well done. Now, here's the crucial thing about having a labeller. You see, you know those little labellers, you know, a brother labeller that spits something out, and it does this nice little elegant typed label. Very tidy. And the crucial thing is that the way that filing systems work is this. Well, let me finish the story off. You've got to have a good quality drop file cabinet. What I mean by good quality is you don't want one of these where you've got to fight with the drawer every time because it's jammed, because it's cheap and nasty. Buy a decent one. You want to enjoy filing. Filing's got to become a pleasure in this process. And here's the crucial thing. Have the cabinet within arm's reach of your desk. So the rule is, if I'm sitting at the desk, I should be able to go like that, pull, or like that, pull, right? It's got to be within pulling distance, because I'm going to be able to sit at my desk and file instantly under the system that I've devised. True, you've got to do this. It all makes good sense. The next thing is, you've got to eliminate drop files and tabs. This is only a suggestion. You know those drop file things that you hang in the things? They're great, except they take up half the space. So you can actually buy these other little things that go on that allow you just to put manila folders all the way through, and they don't fall over because they're sitting with little wire supports. And now the whole drawer's actually filled with manila folders of stuff rather than drop file cabinets. And if they're all nicely labelled, they look really good. They look very tidy. You want to use an alpha filing sequence. Now, I have at home at the moment 1, 2, 3, 4 drawer filing cabinets. And 1, 2, counting the 2 at the office, 3, 4, 3 drawer filing cabinets. So I've got a few filing cabinets. So I've got a bit of filing. I've got a few reference things. And I'm very happy to use in most cases, apart from the spiritual thing, which I can talk to you about, I have a simple filing system for spiritual material that works as follows. I have every book of the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and then everything else goes A to Z, or A to Z, depending on which nation you belong to. Okay, because for most people, an alpha filing system is absolutely fine. Now stop and think about it. Take this marvellous piece of paper I've got about organic planting orientated to the schedules of the cycle of the moon, with magnetic orientation. Okay, where am I going to file that? And the answer is, well, there's not too many places. It's either going to go under P for planting, or V for vegetables, or O for organic, or M for moon. It'll probably be under one of those four. It can't get too far out, you know, from there, can it? So what you don't want is such complicated filing systems that they become a problem in themselves. For most cases, A to Z is absolutely fine to recover most stuff. Keep drawers only 3/4 full. The worst thing is a cabinet that's so jammed with stuff that you can't even get one file out. Be generous with yourself. Buy another cabinet. Expand into a second cabinet. It's okay. You can do this. All right? It's all right. And this is the deal. aim to pull, label, file within 1 minute. So what happens is the piece of paper arrives into your in basket. You think, what is this? This is, yes, this is a piece of reference material I want to keep. What is it? Organic planting. Right. Actually, if you're really up with it, you'll have P for planting dash organic, because then you can have planting dash vegetables, planting dash, or, you know, and you'll have a whole bunch of subsets of planting. So what you do is this. You grab your labeler, you go planting dash organic, you reach your manila folder, you open the folder, you put the label on, you put the file in, you go pull, file, done. And the rule is, if you can do that in 60 seconds, filing becomes a pleasure. It's wonderful. And suddenly the stuff disappears off the desk because you know where it goes. Now, let me give you another illustration of this. Let me finish this off. Don't share your equipment. If you've got that set up, including that precious labeler, it's yours. Be fairly territorial about this. This is my desk and my operating system. What you don't realize is behind this apparently simple system, there is a complex formula. In fact, this whole system is called a highly complex system that highly complex people use to get mundane stuff done. Purge the entire cabinet once every year because you do find that the files tend to grow. So you've got to have a day that you set aside where you purge. You know, I can just imagine in BC, one of those supremely cold, middle-of-the-winter days where you actually, you know, make a really good coffee, which means, by virtue of translation, not Tim Hortons. And not Starbucks. Neither of which could be ever considered to be real coffee. And then you have a filing session, a purging session. Now, let me show you an example of this. Has anyone got a cell phone here? Anyone got a mobile phone? No, hands up if you've got one. Don't show me. Right. Okay, isn't it interesting? Most of you seem to have a mobile phone. Now, what happens when you buy that mobile phone is it normally comes with a little box, doesn't it? You open the box and out comes all the stuff and cords and also the warranty. The warranty for the mobile phone. Where do I put this stupid piece of paper that I think I probably oughtn't to throw out, but where do I put it? Because I haven't got a system. And now all of a sudden you do. You think, I can do this? Manila folder, labeler, warranty, dash, mobile phone, fold, pull, file. Bring it on. And you see, you might have a whole lot of warranties. Now you know where to put warranties. And they're all there because you knew where to put them, because you've got a simple filing system. Now, I know it seems obvious, but guess what? Most people don't have it. So it piles up and we waste huge amounts of time shuffling through the same cycle of pieces of paper because we just didn't know where to put them. So this is quite powerful. So now the next thing. Well, that's covered, by the way. All we've done is cover all the things as to what you do if it's not actionable. So now, what about if we miraculously said, well, actually, yes, this is, I've come across something in my in basket, finally, that is actionable. Ah, well, that's good. Now there's another whole process comes into play. So here's what you do now if the item is actionable. This is the big question. This is life transforming. When you look at this, whatever it is, what you've got to say to yourself is, so what's the very next identifiable action to move this piece of paper along? And this is the big difference between to-do lists and next action lists. Huge difference. I used to run to-do lists. I've still got the same list, but it's called a next action list now. And it's important because it's got this critical question. And the thesis behind this planning is, believe me, you're going to ask this question at some stage. You'll either ask it at the front of the process or you'll ask it at the end. I'll give you an illustration. Imagine that you put on your list, fix car. For some strange reason, it sits there and sits there and sits there and sits there until finally one day you go out to start the car and it's completely dead because the battery's gone. And you suddenly realise that what you meant by fix car was you knew there was a problem with the battery. You know the reason why it never got done? Is because the item fix car is not doable. It's on your to-do list, but you can't do it. So if I said to you, well, when you say fixed car on your to-do list, what do you mean? Well, it's had a bit of a problem starting recently. So is the problem that there's a battery problem? Yes, I've got a battery problem. So what do you need to do about that then? Well, I need to get a new battery. Excellent, now we're making progress. So what do you need to do that? Well, Bob tells me that he's got a great little place that have got long life batteries that last the distance a lot better for the same price. Good, okay, so have you rung them? Well, no, not really. Why not? Because I can't remember the name. Okay, so what's the next action to put on your next action list? And the answer is not fix car. It's phone Bob for the phone number of the battery shop. Now, you know, that might sound really obvious, but believe me, we all put things on our lists that are not actionable items. This is a really big thing that will help you, whether at work or at school or at university or at home, to process things much more efficiently if you can ask that one single question. So let me just advance on that. So the next thing is, will it take less than 2 minutes? If it takes less than 2 minutes, and the answer is yes, I do it now. Do you know why? Because it's going to take me more than 2 minutes to log it into my system for later on. So if it's going to take more than 2 minutes to log it in for later on, it's more efficient for me to do it now. So you do it now, 2 minutes. Mind you, you've got to be really ruthless, because I have things I think, I can do that in 2 minutes, and it turns out to be 7 minutes. Or 12 minutes, not 2 minutes. So you've got to learn to be accurate with your time assessments, but if it's 2 minutes, do it now. And all of a sudden, you've got a few things that actually have never found their way onto the list because you never allowed them to get to that point. You processed it now. So just something about this next action thing. I'll come back to that. If the answer is no, I can't do it in less than 2 minutes, what are the possibilities? Well, here's the first one, the one we should always think of. Can I delegate it? Is this really something I should be doing? Should my husband be doing this? Should one of my children be doing this? Does this belong to someone else in the meeting? Does this belong to someone else in the office? Delegation's a real thing to learn. Because you see, somehow we all imagine that we've got these a set of special skills so unique that no one ever could do what needs to be done in quite the way that we do it. True? So we never delegate. Because no one else is competent. It's a shame, but just that's where they are. But it could be, in some cases, perhaps in many cases, it could be. So first of all, could I delegate it? And if so, then I delegate it. But if you delegate it, there's another box, another file we've got to set up, and that's called waiting on others. Because you see, what happens is when we delegate something, we imagine mentally it's gone off our list. Now this happens even in the truth. So you say, ask so-and-so to follow up such-and-such with regard to the supper arrangements for that special fraternal evening. You think, great, I fixed it. I've asked Sandra to look at it. Yeah, but the trouble is, it was actually still your responsibility because you're the catering sister of the ecclesia in question. And the real question is, did Sandra ever come back to you? And the answer is you won't know unless you've got a system that calls up the matter of whether Sandra came back to you because it's gone on a list that at some stage pops back up to say, did Sandra confirm that it's been done? So one of the tricks to delegation is you've got to have a follow-up methodology. So I'll come back to that later on as well. So the last thing is, I can't do it in 2 minutes. I've tried very hard and I can't delegate it. Looks like I'm going to have to do it. Well, even then, it could go two ways. It could say, well, in that case, I better put it on my calendar. Now, there's a golden rule with regard to calendars, and I think sisters should run calendars at home as well, by the way. The rule for calendars is don't put on your calendar anything other than two items. Firstly, something that's time-specific on that day. In other words, it's a meeting at 9 o'clock. It's a coffee at 10 o'clock. If it's coffee at 10 o'clock, it should go on your calendar because you need to be there at 10 o'clock. So it's a time-specific item on that day. But it might be something that does need to happen on that day that's not time-specific, but it is date-specific. I need to call so-and-so on Wednesday because I know that they're out of the office on Tuesday. They're in the office on Wednesday, but by Thursday they've flown out to another project, but I've got to talk to them about that project before they go, and the only day they'll be in the office is on Wednesday. But it doesn't matter when on Wednesday I call them, just that I do it sometime that day, but it's got to happen on Wednesday. So that's got to go on the calendar. It's date specific. Or there's a time on that day. That's the only things you should put on your calendar. Now, I learnt this and found it to be very valuable for this reason. On my calendar, and because I have an Apple, which, you know, is a sensible thing to do, I used to run, well, I still run everything on iCal, and I had all my appointments and things to do. And I used to fill the whole day with everything I wanted to do, and I sincerely wanted to do them. At the end of the day, I'd think, that's not done, so click and drag, click and drag, click and drag, click and drag. What was I telling myself every time I did click and drag? I failed, I failed, I failed, I failed. And then you go click and drag, oh, account, there's already something at that point, then I have to click and drag and pull down or up or across or to another day, and it's a nightmare. So you don't want that. You don't want that on your calendar. I'll show you how to do that in a minute. So calendar, be ruthless with how you use it. And if it doesn't go on the calendar, it goes into a next action list. Now, I have a bunch of next action files or a bunch of next action lists, and I'll show you those in a minute as well, but there's a system to this. So, next actions. I think what I might do is close with the screen, because I see it's 20 past 12, and I'll be in trouble with the authorities if I don't close soon. So what I might do is just cover this one slide. I'm only about halfway through. Would you still like to carry on with this in the afternoon? Because I think it might be helpful. So I think we'll chop it at this point so that we can give, you know, proper time to it this afternoon and finish it off. So this is just a little exercise to finish with in terms of figuring out a next action. So you ready? Try this on a piece of paper. What I'd like you to do is to see if you can think of something that's been bothering you, that you know is on your to-do list at the moment. There's sort of top of mind, something I've got to do, something on your list right now that is needing attention and you're mentally aware that it needs attention. So write that down on a piece of paper, just very briefly what it is. In fact, what I'd like you to do is to write it down, that's what it is that's uppermost in your mind, just the first thing, no matter how big or small, could be a project or just a single item. But what I want you to do now is, can you write down in one sentence your intended successful outcome to that item? In other words, what would you need to have done, or what would need to happen so that you could say, I've done it? It's ticked as being completed. It's been done. In one sentence, what would need to be done so that you could consider that item to be completed? Can you write that down? In just a sentence. So you've got clarity on what that would be. Can you visualize that? Visualize it completed? Okay. Right, that's great. Now, here's the next thing. So having done that, what's the very next physical action, just the next physical action required to move that situation forward towards that outcome that you visualised? Just the next single step. Because it might be quite a few steps, but what's the very next thing that you ought to do? Now, I'll give you just one quick illustration out of my own life. 2 years ago, I was at Shippensburg. Shippensburg have a meeting at the end with the committee and the speakers, and they ask what improvements you could make. And I said to the Bob Kling at Shippensburg, I said, well, you know, one of the things about the program, I always find the Shippensburg program hard to figure out where I should be at certain points of the day. I said, we've got a simpler program in New Zealand. It may not work over here, but it's just more intuitively easy to follow. So Bob said, oh, I'd love a copy of that. I said, sure. So I wrote it on my list, on my to-do list. Send Bob Kling a copy of the New Zealand program. No problem. So it sat on my list and 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 never got done. I think in the end I thought, why haven't I done this and sent it off to Bob? And I suddenly realised the reason is because at home I didn't have a soft copy of the program. I only had an old physical copy of about 3 years before, and I didn't have a scanner at home to be able to scan the thing. So what was I going to do to send it to Bob? I couldn't. And finally, I figured out that the smartest thing to do was to email David, who's the secretary of the New Zealand Bible School in Wellington, and say, have you got a soft copy of our program for a typical summer school, Bible school? So I sent an email. I thought, I can do that. So I sent an email to David. In less than 2 hours, he said, sure, here it is, PDF attachment. I thought, I can do this. Dear Bob, enclosed is a copy of the New Zealand program. And I'd done the thing. But you see the problem? I didn't have the next action down on my to-do list. I had the wrong thing down, and I knew about this stuff, and I still mucked up. So believe me, you've got to think about this. You've got to train yourself. Even when you know it, you'll put things down. One lady who actually got to understand this looked at her to-do list, and what she said was, boy, she said, this is sure an amorphous blob of undoability. Meaning she realized that what was on her list was largely undoable items because she hadn't figured out what the next action was. If you can do that, you'll find that it's very helpful. To-do lists tend to be simply lists of stuff that are overwhelming people, but without the discipline of that process. So what that item, what that question about next action is all about is, believe me, you'll ask that question either at the start of this process or you'll ask it at the end when something blows up. So wouldn't it be more intelligent to ask the question at the start, to put front-end thinking in? Because you're going to put it in anyway. You choose to put it in at the start or the finish. Put it in at the start, you'll have a much more intelligent outcome and you'll process things much more quickly. So let's stop at that point, have a break, have a whole afternoon off, and we'll reconvene whenever we do. Sorry? Okay, you want me to give thanks for lunch? Close the session, give thanks for lunch. Okay. All right, so let's do just that. We'll close with prayer and give thanks for lunch to follow. Our loving Father in the heavens above, great and mighty in all thy ways, we thank thee, loving Father, for the blessings of the truth that thou hast espoused us unto in Christ Jesus our Lord, and recognize that thou hast vouchsafed unto us the very keys of the kingdom. Help us, loving Father, to be so focused on the future joy of that time that we might live even now as men and women in advance of their age, that in spirit and in heart we might prepare ourselves today for that which is to come. Help us to be so clear in our thinking that we aspire to those things that will advance thy purpose in the earth, not only in the age to come, but that even in our present mortal life, we might learn those things that will make us profitable unto thee in the service of thy truth. Grant unto us that diligence of spirit and that zealousness of service. Help us to be inspired by the examples of those in the Bible that have gone before us, whose characters thou hast preserved that we might know and love them and seek to imitate them. And in all these things, loving Father, we pray that thou wilt richly bless us for thine own holy name's sake, we pray. And now we thank thee for food to come, for we recognize that our food and our raiment and our shelter are daily gifts from thee, that we might confess our dependence upon thee and acknowledge that thou art the gracious provider of all things. Help us to use thy gifts wisely before thee and honorably in thy sight, we pray, as we offer thanks now in Christ Jesus, our Lord's name.